I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from around the world. This week in women's history, on April 20th, 2010, Dorothy Height died. She was a chief organizer of the March on Washington in 1963 and was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1994. Former President Barack Obama called her the godmother of the civil rights movement. America's first female astronaut candidate, pilot Jerry Cobb, who pushed for equality in space but never reached its heights, has died. Cobb died in Florida at age 88 on March 18th following a brief illness. The Associated Press reported news of her death came this week from journalist Miles O'Brien, who was serving as a family spokesman. In 1961, Cobb became the first woman to pass astronaut testing. Altogether, 13 women passed the arduous physical testing and became known as the Mercury 13. But none of them ever reached space. NASA tapped her as a consultant to talk up the space program. She was dismissed 1 week after commenting, quote, "I'm the most unconsulted consultant in any government agency." She wrote in her 1997 autobiography, "My country, my culture was not ready to allow a woman to fly in space." Cobb served for decades as a humanitarian aid pilot in the Amazon jungle. Dozens of protesters gathered in Bangladesh's capital yesterday to demand justice for an 18-year-old woman who died after being set on fire for refusing to drop sexual harassment charges against her Islamic school's principal. The Associated Press reported Nusrat Jahan Rafi told her family she was lured to the roof of her rural school and asked to withdraw the charges by five people clad in burqas. When she refused, she said her hands were tied and she was doused in kerosene and set alight. Rafi told the story to her brother in an ambulance on the way to the hospital, and he recorded her testimony on his mobile phone. She died 4 days later. The violence has shaken Bangladesh, triggering protests and raising concerns over the plight of women and girls in the conservative Muslim-majority nation, where sexual harassment and violence often go unreported. Police in Northern Ireland say they have arrested two teenagers in connection with the fatal shooting of journalist Lyra McKee during rioting in the city of Londonderry, also called Derry. The men were detained under anti-terrorism legislation, the Police Service of Northern Ireland said today. McKee, 29, was a rising star of investigative journalism. She was shot and killed, probably by a stray bullet, during rioting Thursday night. Police said the new IRA dissident group was most likely responsible and called it a terrorist act. McKee rose to prominence in 2014 with a moving blog post, "Letter to My 14-Year-Old Self," describing the struggle of growing up gay in Belfast. She recently signed a book deal. In Saudi Arabia, the trial of female activists has been postponed. The BBC reports the judge delayed the proceedings for private reasons. The women were arrested last year after pushing for the right of women to drive and for an end to the country's repressive guardianship system. The women have reportedly been subjected to torture, including waterboarding. But the Saudi government claims the women are receiving all rights afforded to them under the country's laws. Ivanka Trump was in Ivory Coast this week to announce a $2 million commitment from USAID and chocolate companies towards savings associations that help women business owners. Voice of America reported the savings associations are a popular way for businesswomen in the West African nation to get access to capital. Women play key roles in the cocoa industry, but their labor is often overlooked. That's according to cocoainitiative.org. In the Ivory Coast, women own 25% of cocoa farms and form 68% of the cocoa labor force, yet only earn 21% of the income generated from cocoa production. Trump was in Africa to promote the Trump administration's $50 million Women's Global Development and Prosperity Initiative. She also confirmed this week that she turned down her father's offer to lead the World Bank. For the first time, women will be included in the Taliban delegation during upcoming peace talks. The Guardian reported the talks are taking place this weekend in Qatar, and the move represents a step towards addressing demands that women be included in negotiations to end 17 years of conflict in Afghanistan. Many advocates fear gains by women in the country will be lost if the Taliban gain power again. They were toppled in 2001 by U.S.-led forces. Their reign in the 1990s was marked by severe restrictions that included full burqas and bans on girls attending school. A spokesman for the group says its policies have changed, and it encourages girls' education and other women's rights within an Islamic Sharia system. And this week, Democratic Representative Gerald Nadler of New York, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, tweeted that on April 30th, the committee will hold the first congressional hearing on the Equal Rights Amendment in 36 years. The Hill reported earlier this year there's a renewed push on ERA, which Congress passed in 1972. It needed to be ratified by 38 states by 1982, according to the New York Times, but only 35 ratified it in time. Nevada and Illinois have since ratified the amendment, and Virginia was in line to follow suit, but the state house blocked that effort. Also, five states have since rescinded their ratification. Nadler is among the representatives trying to overturn that 1982 deadline. And in New Mexico news, New Mexico's top election regulator has filed paperwork to run for U.S. Senate in 2020. The AP reported Democratic Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver yesterday registered a campaign account with the Federal Election Commission. Political adviser Heather Brewer confirmed that Toulouse Oliver had filed new paperwork to pursue the seat that Senator Tom Udall plans to vacate at the end of 2020. And an inmate has sued the New Mexico Corrections Department, saying two officers sexually abused her in 2017. The American Civil Liberties Union said in a lawsuit filed on behalf of the inmate that the assaults occurred in a prison system and facility that have fostered, quote, an environment rife with sexual abuse. The lawsuit also says that authorities retaliated against the inmate when she reported the abuse by revoking her phone privileges, placing her in solitary confinement, and taking away a year of good time. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.